Howdy, y'all. Welcome to the Ears Podcast, produced by Terrier TV. I am Alligator Rob. This is Mr. Bill Curtis. Howdy, Mr. Curtis. How are you?
I'm good, Frank. How you doing?
Extremely blessed, buddy. It is a great day. Yeah, it's I reminded daily how great it is to be alive. It's great stuff.
Well, good, good. Now, did you remember to press the button?
Yes, sir. The button has been pressed. The timer has started.
You're a good man.
I have not dropped the ball. I do feel like this place is kind of like a casino, though, sometimes with no clock in it. Because you never know.
Because you never know what time it is. No windows, no clock. Can't tell.
Oh, man.
We just want you to spend your money. That's all.
Yes, indeed.
That's what we're looking for.
Stay here, spend your money, make it all happen.
Yep.
Fair enough. All right, you ready to get into this?
Oh, yeah. Let's get into this.
I'm pretty excited. We are gathered here today to have a conversation. You should stop laughing. To have a conversation with a legitimate legend in the acting, the comedy, the producing, directing world. What hasn't he done? I don't even know. It's a list of things, a list of superlatives that deserve to go on forever. We are joined today by Mr. George Wendt. Howdy, Mr. George. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fresh as a daisy.
So you're out in Los Angeles right now?
Correct.
Yeah, how's life out west treating you?
Yeah, so far so good. You know, I'm on the road a lot when I work. I oddly don't work in LA that much, but that's peculiar, but there you have it.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah. I was telling Mr. Curtis, it's here with me. Mr. Curtis is actually one of my teachers when I went to high school many, many moons ago. Good Lord, was it 22 years ago now? Yeah, it's been a minute ago.
21, actually.
You're just
23.
A child.
He is. He's a whippersnapper.
And I was telling him I met you at a golf tournament held by Joel Murray and Betsy Shepard up in Chicago for the first time. I want to say that was 2019. And I've been a fan for a long time, and you know, admired you from a distance, and it was been a pleasure, you know, kind of keeping track of you since then.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was fun to get to meet you too. Wow, we snuck that in right before the pandemic, huh?
We did, didn't we? Yeah, because the next year they didn't have one, and then went back to it again last year. Yeah, it was been a couple interesting years. So you're from Chicago, yeah?
Correct.
Tell us about growing up there. What was it like?
Born and raised, my friend, South Side of Chicago. you know, it was just, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to characterize it because I don't know growing up anywhere else. But it was, you know, it was my childhood. What can I say? You know, and now, full disclosure, I did go away for a lot of, you know, I went away for high school. So, but I would come home for summers and stuff. I went to a boarding school in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that was an adjustment.
You sounds like that was quite the adventure itself, huh?
Yeah, you know, I was sort of young for my my class. And so I guess I was, what, 13 or something, and off to boarding school. I guess it could be worse. Some kids go to boarding school for, like, grade school.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Ish.
So after that, did you go off to college? What happened after that?
Yeah, I did. I went off to college, several colleges. But first I went off to Notre Dame for 2.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
What'd you study there?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah.
It was just kind of a space eater?
Which is why I, it's why I wound up being booted out of there in the middle of my junior year.
Wow, okay. Is that when you figured out you wanted to go into acting? At what point did you figure out that was the thing for you?
I didn't figure that out till 2 or 3 years after college. I will say that I majored in, I wound up doing for a living what I majored at in college, which was sitting at a bar drinking beer.
That's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's ironic. So when you figured out that that's something you wanted to aim your ambitions toward was acting. I understand you went to, we had Ian Owens on here a couple of days ago. He was a graduate of Second City, which is where you went to, correct?
Yeah. I didn't really want to, I didn't understand. I was just plain clueless. So I didn't care about acting, let alone a career in the entertainment, you know, world. All I wanted to do was be in Second City. So I was so dumb that it was kind of a blessing because I just had this really immediate short-term goal. And it wasn't until I was in Second City for like 2-3 years when I finally thought, oh, well, I guess I'm an actor.
it just kind of happened? You
know? Well, no, I mean, I worked hard to get into Second City, but, you know, and then, you know, you join, it's a equity house, you know, the actors unit. And so, you know, I had to join Actors Equity. So I guess, well, I guess I'm an actor. But, and then, you know, I wound up doing some voiceover work for a TV commercial. And they said, well, you need to join SAG. I go, oh, okay, what do I do? I'll just sign here and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, a few months later, there's another gig. Yeah, you need to join AFTRA. I go, well, sign here and I'll, you know. So now I'm a member of all three unions.
Wow.
And you know, I still don't understand. Well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and try to be an actor. But, it, you know, that's just how green I was and clueless I was.
Had you ever been on stage before that?
Nope.
Never stepped foot on stage before Second City.
No.
That's amazing.
So what was it about Second City that attracted you that you wanted to be a part of it so badly?
It was so funny and smart and also loosey-goosey, you know, it just seemed like a bunch of, you know, youngish men and women goofing off on stage. And, you know, I was pretty sure they got paid for it. and I didn't want to do anything else. You know, I really tried. I thought and thought for, you know, this is why it took a couple of years after college before I figured out about Second City, you know, trying to work towards that, because I thought I couldn't come up with anything else that I thought I would like. I really was determined, and I owe this to a high school or a college philosophy class. They talked about Karl Marx's theory of alienation, and while, you know, he was more concerned with, you know, the workers being alienated from the means of production and things like that, you know, I took it as like I didn't want to do something that I would hate for the rest of my life.
That's
and
fair.
So I thought of jobs I wouldn't hate, and I just literally started using the process of elimination, you know, like and, you know, fireman, no, cop, no, teacher, no, sales, no, doctor, no, science, no, you know, just nothing, cowboy, you know, anything. I thought, wow, you know, Second City looked like it. I bet I wouldn't hate that.
So did you call them, or they did? How did you just show up to one of the shows?
I called the box office. They love that.
So kids, if you're out there, that's what you do. Call the box office.
I inquired about the workshops because, you know, somebody said they have workshops in improvisation. So they asked me my address and I gave it to them, and they said they sent me a flyer, and it was, I think, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8. And it was 13 weeks, $85.
Wow.
And
okay.
So I signed up, and now it's a big deal, you know, their training center and everything. But then it was just one woman, Josephine Forsberg, who was a disciple of Viola Spolin, who was, I guess, wrote the book, literally, Improvisation for the Theater.
Wow.
And, you know, that was, and so I studied with her for a year, and she said, I think you might be ready for the children's show.
The children's show?
Yeah, yeah. And because they had a little, they had a kids show on Sunday afternoons at 2:30. And I was like, oh my God, that'd be amazing. So,
that's it, I've made it.
You know, because it was right up there on stage at Second City, you know. And it's, and also, the workshops were on stage, you know, at this place that I was just such a huge fan of. And, you know, you could go there for free at night. They had two acts of scripted material, which was the quote unquote show, and that, you know, you had to pay to get into that. But after that, about half the audience left, and then they would just have walk-ins from the street to enjoy the improvisational set, the third act. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I would go, you know, as many times a week as I could. I was totally enamored of the cast and the place, and I was thrilled.
So growing up, what were your biggest influences? And, you know, once you finally broke that barrier into Second City, did you have any big influences there in the early in your career that really kind of set you apart from what you're doing to where you are now, to, you know, to what you ended up doing?
you know, growing up, you know, just the TV comics, you know, and not so much stand-up. It was never about stand-up for me. It was about acting. You know, I didn't know, you know, but for me, it was more like this, you know, the scripted sitcoms, Jackie Gleason, you know, The Honeymooners and things like that.
Classics, yeah.
Yeah, and then the skits, you know, your show of shows, you know, Sid Caesar and those things, those were fun. But the stand-ups, you know, I enjoyed the stand-ups, but I never aspired to that and have never done it. And then when I started going to Second City, it was honestly, you know, John Belushi really kind of stuck out, but it was the guys who I really admired were right then with John, Joe Flaherty, Harold Ramis, Jim Fisher, Brian Doyle Murray, Billy Murray, John Candy. You know, it was really just so much fun to watch those guys. David Rashi.
They were all there at the same time.
Basically, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew the place had some history. I didn't know it had all those names in one place. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's not even scratching the surface.
Really? Okay.
I could rattle off 50 people who you've heard of.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it was, there's a history there.
That's amazing. So I was listening to an old interview you did a couple days ago. And you were talking about a trip you went on to Europe, probably before your acting career started, and how you ended up in jail for a couple hours. It was funny because I went through something similar a few years back in Argentina. I had traveled from here to go down there to for a crocodile specialist group meeting, and I left Orlando, went to Texas, and then from Texas to Buenos Aires, and from Buenos Aires into another little city. And I didn't realize I'd travel that whole time with a bullet in my pocket. You know, because for my work, sometimes I gotta have bullets in my pocket, and I had a bullet the entire time. Nobody found it that entire trip until my way back, and I was in Buenos Aires, and I get these bunch of these armed guards come up to me and go, hey, so open your bag. I'm like, okay. And then they pull out this bullet. They go, what is this? And I go, oh man, I well, that's 100% mine. Like, I feel terrible about it now. I don't know what we're going to do. And it reminded me of that story, you know, that whenever you were telling that story. If you could, can you share that with us?
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of close calls. But one time we actually did get in the clink. It was, it had to do with, you know, we were camping. I was, you know, trying to do Europe on as cheap as possible, you know, in order to just stave off reality. You know, I would go over there with like $500 and try to make it last several months.
Wow. Okay. That sounds like a challenge.
You know, well, we were sleeping on the side of the road. I had friends who had a Volkswagen van, and a couple of them stayed in the van, and a couple of other of us, you know, just hit the side of the road nearby wherever the van was. And but my point is, we once in a while, you know, we needed a shower, you know, and so we'd try to find a town with a public bath or something, and that would suit for the most part. But one time we would pull, once in a while we'd pull into a proper campground, which killed us, because, you know, it that cost money, even though it was probably like $1.75 or something. You know, we thought that was outrageous. The only reason we would go in there is if they had showers and hot showers.
There you go. Makes sense.
Yeah. And so, yes, we have. And, you know, I'd been in Morocco for about a month. And I was looking forward to a nice hot shower. And not that they don't have them in Morocco, but, you know, we couldn't afford it. So there we were in the campground, and we've got hot showers. And so I go in the next morning, and it was just a little trickle of cold water, barely enough to brush your teeth in. And so I went to the manager and vociferously explained that that's not what we signed up for, and I was making a point, and I slammed my fist on the guy's desk, and he had one of those glass coverings, you know, where you keep pictures of your family underneath and stuff. And it shattered. And so I went, sorry about that. And he immediately starts dialing the police. And this was, I am old. This was Franco, Spain. So, you know, the Guardia de Seville pulls up in motorcycles, and off we go in the back of a paddy wagon or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although Pat Finn would say, excuse me, Irish American wagon. So me and the three guys I was traveling with, and they're like, thanks a lot, you know. And so I felt terrible. And then they search us, and I've got like a Swiss Army knife because we're camping, you know, for months. And so a guy goes, what is this? I go, what do you mean, what's this? It's a Swiss Army knife. And, you know, he opens it and he looks at the blade. Okay. And then he closes the blade and he pinches his finger and starts bleeding everywhere. And everyone, we're just going, oh, God, no. Anyway, we went before a magistrate, and, you know, it was fine. You know, the magistrate just goes, what happened? And I told him, and the campground owner said, yeah, that's what happened. Well, how much do you reckon that was worth? And something like, you know, $20-ish. So I just paid it. But they did run us out of town. They escorted us out of town with the motorcycles. And, you know, so we felt like, you know, cowboys. We ran out of town.
Get those ne'er-do-wells out of town.
Yeah. Thank God they didn't say you attacked them or something. Yeah, that could have went really, really wrong. International story.
Yeah, the only thing that was stupid about it was me getting huffy and inadvertently breaking guys' property.
It could happen to any of us.
Yep. So did you ever get a shower?
No, I would think we had to move along. You know?
Okay.
But I would go into a public bath in town, X, Y, or Z, usually, you know, smallish towns. And I would walk right in with my clothes on and lather up and just while my clothes were on me and wash them.
And, oh, there you go. Yeah.
That's one way of doing it.
I would take them off and lather up myself, and then I'd rinse the clothes, wring them out real good, put them back on, and go out, and they would dry on me.
Hey, that's a jam up.
There you go. Hey, it works.
That works. Everything's clean at the same time. That's a jam up. So, you know, you play this iconic role on Cheers, right? For a long time. When you're thinking back about that, what were some of the parts about that you enjoyed the most, and some of the parts that you absolutely couldn't stand, if there were any?
There was nothing I couldn't stand. It was just nothing but fun. You know, it all starts with the tremendous writing. You know, there was none of us could ever get like, you know, angry or upset, or it was just like every day was a fresh rewrite, and it was like Christmas morning. You know, you turn the pages to see what, you know, great jokes you got, and you know, we were all basically newcomers, and so, you know, there was no egos or anything. You know, we just had a ball. And, you know, of course, our director was there to head off any kind of, you know, untoward vibes. And there wasn't any, so.
That's great. Do you still stay in contact with a bunch of those people?
Yeah, I stay in contact with everyone.
Do you? Yeah, you guys had a pretty amazing family there. That show, I mean, to say iconic, I don't think even covers what that show was. No. I mean, it's a piece of history that, yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's meant a lot to a lot of people.
Oh yeah, about every couple of years, I go through it and binge the whole thing.
Yeah, it's something that will live on forever.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it truly will.
Yeah, it was very, very funny, very funny, and you could tell that. I mean, it, unless you guys are outstanding, you could tell that they were having fun. You guys are, you know, having fun doing this.
Yeah.
And that comes across, and that's contagious. And I think that's part of the success of the show.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
Yeah. I remember Josephine Forsberg, the woman who I told you taught my first workshops at Second City. You know, she yelled up something when I was on stage, you know, in a, doing some exercise or another, and she yelled up, "When you're having fun, we're having fun." And you know, it stuck with me. That's how I try to approach life.
That is the ultimate way to approach life. Everybody else enjoys it at the same time you're enjoying it. Yeah, it's where it's supposed to be. Yeah, those are very wise words, sir.
Well, thanks.
Very wise, sir. So, you know, okay, I grew up and grew up as a Buccaneers fan. It happens. It was a rough time for a long time before Tom Brady. Yeah, we used to be in the same division as the Bears back in the day. So I remember always playing the Bears and occasionally seeing these skits you would do, these Bears skits. And I don't know. So, you know, you growing up on the South Side, you must have spent a lot of time around Bears fans, and you're a Bears fan yourself too, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Is there specific people that you can think of that you pull this character from, or is it a conglomeration of a bunch of people, or where do you pull those skits from? Because they're timeless classics.
Well, you know, the writers, once again, Robert Smigel and Bob Odenkirk, basically created those characters. And yes, the Bob Odenkirk from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Yep.
Wow.
And yeah, and they, you know, they did it in Chicago when they were improv students at Second City. And then they both got hired for Saturday Night Live to be writers. And they kept pitching it and pitching it. And they finally found someone who would do it, who was Joe Mantegna, also from Chicago. That was before a Bears game with the Giants. And then they, a few months later, I was on board, and they asked if I would do it. And that was when the Bulls won the championship. So it's been a blast. We still do them, these characters. It's crazy after all these years. But, yeah, my little brother was certainly fit the profile. But you know, I think of how you know, blessed and lucky and all that my some of my career has been, because you know, my first big role, you know, Norm, was I had to look like a guy who wanted another beer, so that was, you know, okay, that I can do. And you know, to be able to like root for the Bears and the Bulls and you know, eat Polish sausage and drink beer, smoke cigars and have a Ditka mustache, you know, that was like yeah, it's like so
yeah, I could do that. Yeah,
yeah,
it's doable.
Yeah, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. Yeah, you, blessed is a good term. You're right, you have there isn't a whole lot you haven't done.
Oh yeah, well, speaking of that, George, I got a question for you. I was looking at your IMDb, and golly, you've done a lot of stuff. But I looked at one thing. You haven't done much directing. Is that on purpose? Is that something that you just don't enjoy doing, or?
Well, I never really gave it a shot. I did direct one episode of Cheers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, because I mean, you don't know me. I teach TV production at the high school here. And I know that, you know, there's some folks that just, you know, that they don't like doing that kind of interaction, that kind of thing. And I was just wondering what was the reason for you?
Well, I never really had my heart set on it. Jim Burrows got pneumonia 1 week, and he had to bail out, and so they asked me to direct it. And so it was fun working with the cast, but the cameras, I was just lost. And but you know, there were so many safety nets there, that, you know, the camera coordinator and the ADs and all that. So actually, you know, I was so, once again, green as could be. You know, I'd stew and stew and stew, and then I'd finally asked one of the camera operators to, you know, we have four cameras, and I'd ask him, okay, I think maybe you ought to try to get this shut. And he goes, look, and I go, yeah, that's the one, you know, like they were all ahead of me. They knew exactly at that point, you know, I don't know what it was, year 7 or 8 or whatever. So it was easy to direct Cheers.
Yeah, because they all knew what they were doing. You know,
yeah, they totally did.
So all these roles you've done, you know, Norm would probably be your favorite role. But other than that, you have favorite roles throughout your career that you've done.
Yeah, a couple of theater roles. Well, of course, you know, also the SNL Bob Swirsky or
right, Bill yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember which one I am. Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I can't remember which. Yes, Edna in Hairspray on Broadway.
Yes, indeed. I've seen those pictures, and they look outstanding.
And Ivan in Art in London and Broadway.
Okay. You liked being on the stage doing that stuff, doing the live acting?
Oh yeah, that's by far the most fun.
What is it about that draws you to it?
Probably the audience, but I'm not you know, it's, and also you get a run at the piece, you know, you don't, you're not just doing little bits and bobs.
Sounds fair. So we got a little bit of trivia. You want to join us for a little bit of trivia real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So I put this one right up your alley, George. I think this is perfect. I think you're going to know the answer to all these where nobody else is going to have them. This is a Chicago food trivia.
Okay.
So we'll see how it works out. Number one, this sandwich is made of sliced lamb, served in a pile and often topped with tomatoes, onions, and a yogurt sauce. It was introduced to Chicago in 1968 and has been a favorite ever since. What is that?
Gyros.
It is, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, see, it's one of the foods I don't think I've ever had there. I got to find a way to have one of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've been trying all the Chicago foods, like, each trip and trying to... I think you could spend your entire lifetime trying all the Chicago foods and never get them all. There's so much there, you know. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know how much that city's, you know, I know how much it's blessed you, and it surely has blessed me, and it just, yeah, that'll get me a whole different topic. But number two, there was a satire of the menu of this place on Saturday Night Live when the business owner was prevented from bringing an animal into Wrigley Field during a game four of the World Series in 1945, which started the legend of the curse of what?
Billy Goat.
Indeed, Billy Goat.
Yeah. Okay.
And Billy Goat Tavern, you know, I have a special connection to it. My grandfather used to hang out there when he was a photographer back in the day of Chicago, you know, front page journalism, you know, hardcore, like, you know.
Okay.
Any fun stuff, yeah. So, and his picture is up in a couple of photos in Billy Goat's.
He shot photos for the Tribune, or who do you shoot photos for?
He shot for the sometimes the Trib, New York Daily News, Detroit Free Press, and also he was a White House photographer for a while.
Did you ever have any interest in that?
Not really. I mean,
was it one of the jobs that you said no?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I did have interest in journalism in general, but not so much the photography end.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had a summer job once as a copy boy, and at the Chicago Daily News, and which has since folded. But it was a really interesting job, I thought.
That is pretty neat.
Yeah.
All right, number three. Millions of hungry folks descend upon Grant Park during a 10-day period surrounding what holiday? Food vendors serve up sampling of everything from Chicago favorites.
Well, it's called Taste of Chicago. I'm not sure what holiday they build it around. Probably the 4th.
Indeed, yeah. It's,
okay.
It is the Taste of Chicago, and it's the 4th of July. Yeah. Wow, you're destroying these. It's not even funny. It's awesome. Number four. Maxwell Street is home to what famous food that is grilled and then topped with mustard and grilled onions?
Well, usually that it sounds like a Polish sausage, but they also have like a pork chop sandwich, oddly with the bone in.
Wait,
and
what?
And I want to know how many broken teeth.
Oh my goodness!
How many people have killed themselves via pork chop bone?
Oh wow!
That's seriously. They serve it with the bone in.
They do. I don't understand why.
Keep that in mind, Frank. If you ever try that.
Okay, I guess I need to try that. You're right. It's a Polish sausage. Apparently, yeah. What do they call this pork chop sandwich? Is it just a pork chop sandwich?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna when I'm back up there in August.
It's on the list.
I'm gonna go have myself a pork chop sandwich.
I'll take you to Jim's.
Okay, I'm all in. Yeah, I'm all in. Let's go do it. Number five, Oak Brook, Illinois, is home to what fast food chain's corporate headquarters? The founder, Ray Kroc, opened his first franchise in 1955.
I know that one.
Do you know that one?
McDonald's. Yeah,
McDonald's. Yeah, it's McDonald's.
It's Chicago trivia. It all makes sense.
Okay, yeah, it does.
George, I can't tell you how much this means to us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
Really enjoyed having a conversation with you, and look forward to seeing you. You'll be up there in August?
I hope to be, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I hope to see you there, buddy. Lord willing.
Thanks. Okay.
All right,
bye,
sir.
You guys.
Appreciate it a bunch. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, how awesome was that?
That was great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Great guy. Yeah. I don't think the word legend is a large enough word to fit.
Oh yeah.
What Mr. George Wendt is. I mean, he is an icon. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah.
Oh no, I was a little nervous coming into that.
Oh, 100%. You know, me too.
Exactly what to expect, but golly.
I told you I was. Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely came through.
Yeah. I was thinking about that story the other night when I heard that interview he had done where he had talked about that his time where he had the police encounter.
Right.
And legit. Yeah. I traveled across the world with a bullet in my pocket and nobody mm-hmm. caught it until
and
I was in Argentina.
Yeah.
On the way back.
On the way back.
Yeah. There's a pair of pants I didn't wear the entire time I was down there. So I had no idea it was there. They started disassembling my entire bag. And like, so what is, it's in there. I'm like, no, it's my toothbrush. Well, no, it's in here. And they're like spreading all my stuff out across this table. And finally they pull out this one bullet. They go, what is this? And I went, okay, this is not the time where you tell a story. This is the time where, you know, you man up and
you face
the music.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yep, that's 100% mine.
That's mine.
A bullet that I sometimes use for work. I had no idea that was in my pocket. I'm super sorry. What do we do now? And they bring out this piece of paper. Like, this. Here, sign this. Like, what am I signing? Am I signing away all my rights
It's in Spanish.
It's all in Spanish, correct.
So you have no idea.
Yeah, and then I'm going to myself, this is probably the time where I become a lawyer. This is probably the time where I sign this and get the heck out of Dodge, as fast as I possibly can.
That's right.
So I said, am I in trouble? The guy goes, no, you're okay. I'm like, I have to sign this? He goes, you have to sign it. I said, does it say I can never come back to Argentina? Just sign it. I said, I'm like, what choices do I have? I'm like, okay, so I sign it. And he goes, you want your bullet back? And I said, no, sir, I don't want the bullet back. Like, no.
Do you want the bullet
yeah,
back?
Yeah, he offered it back to
you
me.
You can
I
have
said,
it.
Yeah, I said, you please, no.
No. No.
On me, sir. Please, yes. You enjoy. You're like, good grief. But all right. I reckon that was a great podcast.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode, and we'll catch you all later on.
Yep.
Bye-bye.